Okay, Thanksgiving pop quiz, and this is a participatory exercise. In your opinion, what is the best food at Thanksgiving?
Stuffing.
Oh, wow. I heard stuffing. I heard something in the back. Pie?
Costco pumpkin pie.
Okay, Costco pumpkin pie. Very specific. So I got stuffing, I got pie. What? The turkey, dark or light? Light meat. Okay, anybody else have a favorite? Everyone's got a favorite. The what? Yams with marshmallows. Okay, like it. What else? The green bean casserole? Yeah, that's a staple. Anyone have anything that's kind of wild and weird? Thanksgiving? What's that? Apple cider. That's a good choice. Hot or cold?
Cold.
Okay. Pecan pie. Jello salad. Okay, now let's get even more specific, because my favorite part of Thanksgiving meal is cranberry sauce. Now, how many of you grew up with it coming out of a can?
Absolutely.
And how many of you still would choose the can version?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is getting controversial now. Okay, we got some fresh ones over here. My mother put together the Thanksgiving feast for our entire family. My grandparents would come over. My aunt and uncle and my cousins would come over. Not all my cousins, but the ones who live local. And we started out with the cranberry sauce in the can. You know, it still has the rings indentations on it. And then my mom, I don't know what, she made the fresh cranberry sauce one year. Delicious. Delicious. But half the family was really mad. For then on, you had to have both, right? You had to have both. Thanksgiving, obviously, is a time of family and celebration, and certainly food is a big part of that. But one of the things that nobody mentioned that was also a staple that my mother made and my aunt would also make are dinner rolls. How many of you have dinner rolls, fresh, yeasty dinner rolls? I love those, particularly the next day, because you can make turkey sliders with them. That's great. And I bring this up specifically because our gospel text is about bread, right? And the gospel of John chapter 6, there's an entire chapter devoted to this, I am the bread of life. And what preceded what we heard tonight was the Gospel of John's version, and I say version because all of the four Gospels have the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. The multitudes are fed and they have leftovers, just like all you are going to have leftovers for the next several days after Thursday. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Those who seek me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty. And I was thinking, I know this is weird. Just, it's Thanksgiving Eve. You're here. We're all here together. I was thinking of, this is not a very Thanksgiving place. I mean, it could be. But when Olive Garden first opened and they had the never-ending breadsticks, I was thinking of like this text where Jesus says, I am the bread of life and you'll never be hungry again because you're just going to stuff yourself with bread, right? And we do that, we give ourselves permission on Thanksgiving to eat and eat and eat. But guess what? No matter how much you eat on Thursday, stuffing, gravy, and potatoes, I didn't hear that either, pie, all the desserts, on Friday, when you wake up, you're going to be hungry. You are still going to be hungry. It doesn't matter how much you ate. That's how our body is designed. That's how our earthly life is really designed, is we are finite. And what Jesus is trying to tell the crowd that day is, I am the bread of life. The thing that you keep searching for and worrying about, how you're going to feed your body, what you will do with your life, all those things that keep us anxious and worried, Jesus says, if you place your trust in me, you'll have bread for eternal life, the bread that God gives. And so I love the fact that this text where Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life, of eternal life. That gospel text gets coupled with Philippians. And this very passage in Philippians, which has the phrase, the peace that passes all understanding. The peace in our spirit is what I believe Philippians is talking about when we have a sense of contentment. But it starts out, it says, do not worry about anything. Right? So do not worry about anything, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace of God, will be with you. Now, it sounds simple. Don't worry, give it to God, and you'll get peace, right? But I heard something on the news yesterday about a lawsuit. There was a class action lawsuit filed against the social media companies. And this, sometimes you hear about these stories and you go, well, duh, but it's a lawsuit, and it's passed a certain legal threshold that they can move forward in this action. And the class action lawsuit is about social media companies knowing that their products have bad effects on young on teenagers, right? And that they said that they had a study that they buried, this is the allegation, a study that they buried that said if you withhold from using social media for a week, your mental health improves. They knew that, and they buried it. Because if you're like me, and you're, how many of you have a social media account of some kind? A few years ago, I decided to get on Instagram, and I noticed, I just had a couple family members on there. I had Facebook, which I've had forever, but Instagram. And I noticed for a short amount of time, all I was getting was panda videos. These cute little pandas, either where they're in China or where they were, and they're rolling around in their cute panda way in the snow, and it was adorable. And I was like, well, isn't this such a breath of, because apparently I must have watched a panda video for an extra long moment, and then I started watching more, and then they just kept sending them to me. And I thought, well, that's nice. But most of us, if you start following the news and you catch your news on these algorithms, are just designed to get you to stay on your phone. And doom scrolling becomes a mental health barrier. Like, it's a huge issue. And so, like, if you're on Instagram or you do the scrolling thing, or if you're watching YouTube all the time, here's just a thought experiment. I heard about this yesterday, but I've been thinking about it. Write down, like, for you, the cutest things in the world. Puppies, pandas, grandma's giving hugs. I don't know what it is. Whatever the cutest thing, most innocent thing you could put into your search, and put it in. And then watch some of those videos for a while. And maybe you'll cleanse your Instagram feed that way. I don't know. Or take a break. Take a break from social media, because it's designed to get you to think about all the things that are wrong, all the things that you worry about, and it's a black hole for our spirit. Now, of course, in Jesus' day and in Paul's day, they didn't have social media or technology or the things, but they still are the same kind of human beings. And so what Paul says, the do not worry, but in prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. And then Paul goes on in Philippians. It's such an insightful passage. I really commend you to read Philippians 4 and read it with the kind of devotion where you start memorizing these key lines, because I think sometimes we need like boosts to get ourselves and our spirit back into a good place. And I think Philippians 4, in prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Before you start awfulizing, right? Imagining all the things that can and could or would go wrong, spend some time thinking about the things that are commendable. That's what the second half of that passage is about. And I think that's, to me, what living a life of thanksgiving starts with. It starts with, instead of thinking about all the awful things, thinking about things that are commendable, things that are excellent, things that are joy-filled, things that give us peace. And so part of what we can do is make lists, right? Some of you do the, how many of you like your checklist every day and you make your list, you check it off, right? So here's the challenge. Make a list of the things you tend to worry about and write out those things. And then make a second list of the things that you have as blessings, to write down the places that you know you have a blessing in your life, whether it's your family, whether it's your job, whether it's your health, or that you have a house to live in, whatever the thing is. And then set the first list aside and spend your time, or at least start your day, looking at the second list, the list of blessings, the things that we know that God is giving us, because God gives us not the food that is here today and gone tomorrow. God doesn't bless us with things that are finite and fleeting. God gives us the gift of eternity and the gift of the bread that will fill us up, that will fill our spirit, that is lasting and satisfying. A life filled with thanksgiving is filled with God's peace and contentment. We are wired to be followers of God, and there are things that distract us from this. We're easily distracted, and our social media and our technology is like hyperdrives our scatteredness and our inability to sometimes focus. And so we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional about being thankful. We have to be intentional about seeking things that are commendable, that are gifts from God. So if the list thing doesn't work, take a fast from your phone. Try it, or at least social media. Take a fast from your phone. Take a break and set some boundaries up for yourself and see if that doesn't help your spirit in a day-to-day way. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry, and those who believe in me will never be thirsty." In Christ, we have the greatest gift to give thanks for. And on this day of Thanksgiving, we do. Amen.